Let me begin with a story. Little boy offered up a Thanksgiving prayer for his family. Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays. Thank you for the turkey and dressing and mom and dad and even my little sister, even though she's a pain. Thank you for books and TV and Game Boy. Thank you for loving us. Oh, yeah. And take care of yourself, God, because without you, we're sunk. So thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. So just let me ask, what are you thankful for today? Just shout it out.
Jesus.
Okay, there's a good one. What are you thankful for today?
Peace.
Peace. Family and friends. That we live in Canada, absolutely.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ, amen.
All of our worship leaders
that have to sit up here while I'm preaching. The word of God, amen. For those who are watching online, you may want to go in the chat room and just put out there what you're thankful for this morning. Sure. Amen. Amen. Through the storm, he is our anchor. We're thankful for him. Well, I trust you're thankful for so much. I know I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my family, for my mom and dad, for my kids, for my grandkids that I'm going to see next week. I'm even thankful for my little sister. Very proud of what God has done through her life and her family. I'm thankful for the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the turkey and the dressing. And I'm thankful for the carrots. What I'm not thankful for are lima beans. Lima beans are a weird color and they make funny noises in your mouth. There is so much to be thankful for, but let's be honest this morning. This past year, this Thanksgiving is different than any Thanksgiving we have ever had, isn't it? In past years, we'd gather with our family and friends and not consider the number of people that were gathered in our homes. And this year, we're being encouraged to restrict our gatherings to just family. And it's so, so different. It's a different Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving that's filled with anxiety, uncertainty, anger, and even fear in the lives of many people. But I'm so thankful that while our form of celebrations may be different, we can still celebrate in giving thanks to our God. If there was ever a year that we should and can give thanks, it is this year. And you might ask, Pastor, how? How can I, why should I give thanks in the midst of a pandemic that has turned our lives completely upside down? We are thankful in the midst of our crisis. Why? Because our God has not changed. Everything around us, our celebrations, how we shop, even how we come into this building has changed. But our God remains faithful, even in the storm. Most everyone here knows Psalm 23, probably the best known psalm in the world. I don't think there has been a funeral that I have conducted where this psalm has not been read. In fact, it is so familiar. I recall one funeral I did. The family were not saved. And they came to me and they asked, Pat, Reverend, we're not a religious family. Our father wasn't religious. So could you just keep away from the religious stuff? And I said, okay, well, what exactly would you like to include in your father's service? And I think it was the son who spoke up and said, well, I know there's this poem that I've heard before, something to do with shepherds. Sure, I said, I would have no problem doing that. If you're like me, this is probably how you remember Psalm 23 being recited. And if this is you online or in this room, recite it together with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I was 13 or 14, my grandparents bought me my very first paraphrase, the Living Bible. And one of the first passages I went to was this psalm. And this is what I read. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow grass and leads me beside the quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me do what honors him the most. Even when walking through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You have welcomed me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life, and afterwards I will live with you forever in your home. Hallelujah. I love this psalm, and I know you do as well. When I think of this psalm, there are three things that kind of jump out at me. And one of the things that jumps out at me is that when David writes this as an old man, he goes back to the days of his youth as a shepherd boy in the hills of Judea. And there he perhaps was looking over his flock, and the Lord inspired him to write these words. And he doesn't write it from the perspective of the shepherd, but he writes it from the perspective of the sheep. That's you and I. And there are three main activities that the shepherd has. The shepherd provides, the shepherd protects, and the shepherd preserves. Well, how does the shepherd provide? Well, God provides for us to begin with relationship. The Lord is my shepherd, David writes. The title Yahweh was the first name revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, where God says to Moses, I am who I am. David is saying here that the shepherd is the great I am. And he says the great I am is my shepherd. Hallelujah. God is personal. He's in a relationship with him. Even though he's powerful, he's personal. He is far away, and yet he calls us friend. He is majestic, and he is mine. And out of this relationship with the shepherd, David says that he is replenished. So he writes, I shall not want. If Jesus is your shepherd, you lack nothing. When you know Jesus as your shepherd, you lack nothing. Everything else is secondary. He is all you need. Psalm 34:9 says, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack." Another way to put that is to say we have complete wholeness and contentment in our relationship with our shepherd. Contentment is not having everything you've always wanted. I've had some people say to me, "I'll be content when I'm retired and I can buy that second home in Arizona and I can buy that boat to sail around the oceans. I'll be content when I can have all of that and no worries." That's not what biblical contentment is, folk. No. Contentment is not having everything you always wanted. Contentment is wanting everything you already have. And when you have a relationship with the shepherd, you have everything you need. Can I hear an amen? After providing us for a relationship and replenishment, our shepherd gives us rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Notice what he says. He doesn't invite us to lie down. He makes me lie down. Phil Keller, who wrote just a wonderful book on what it means to be a shepherd, gives this valuable insight. Sometimes the shepherd had to institute forced rest periods for a sheep by folding its legs in such a way that it would become paralyzed for a while and therefore had to lie down and get much needed rest. A sheep cannot properly digest their food unless they lie down. Oh, I know it's not easy going through what we have these last 7 or 8 or 9 months. Some of you have been in the shadows for even longer than that, and you've been wondering, God, when is this going to end? When is this going to stop? When are things going to get back to normal? And folk, I've got to be honest with you. I'm right there. I don't like to see these green stripes here. I don't like to do what we have to do every week. I don't like that I can't be with my own family as I have been in the past. I don't like these things, but they are what they are. And thank God that we have a government and we are able to worship here in this building just as we are. And thank God we're able to serve those who are online and viewing us and part of this church online. Thank God that we are still able to minister to 7 families from our public school. Thank God we are able to help children across the ocean in Africa. Thank God that nothing that God has called us to has stopped, but it feels so burdensome. And we wonder, God, when is it going to end? Listen to me. God has a plan. God has a purpose. He knows what he's doing. And could it be that in this season, where before we were so busy running around like chickens with our heads caught off, for some of us, could it be that in this season, the shepherd has slowed us down just so we can rest in his presence? That word "lie down" is significant. It conveys a sense of rest, safety, and security. In Psalm 4, verse 8, it echoes this thought, "In peace, I will lie down to sleep." I've been talking to people lately who've been having a hard time sleeping. They're anxious. They're fearful. They don't know what's going to happen. They're filled with all kinds of dread. But when we know the shepherd, we can lie down and we can rest and find our safety and our security in him, and he gives his beloved sleep. And after being fully fed, David writes, "He leads me beside quiet waters." Notice he doesn't push from the back, but he gently leads from the front. Why does he do this? For a couple reasons. Keller also notes that sheep have to be moved, otherwise they'll gorge themselves on the grass. If the shepherd isn't constantly leading them, then the sheep's natural inclination is just to stay put and gorge themselves until they can't move. But there's a reason why the shepherd leads from the front, because he sees what's ahead. He sees the dangers. He sees where they have to go. And he sees where there's clear, quiet streams. As you're probably aware, sheep do not like rushing water. They're afraid of the noise. And so that loving shepherd graciously leads them through to those quiet streams where they can receive their sustenance and where he restores my soul. To restore means to bring back from a former or normal state, to renew or to revive. Another word that this Hebrew idiom can be translated is repentance. Repentance what? Means to turn around, to stop the direction that you're going that's heading for destruction, and turn around in repentance and go the way that God calls you to go. God wants to restore us this morning. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We need the shepherd to guide us in the right way, because like sheep, we have a tendency to stay put. We don't like change. I don't like change. How many are with me? I'd prefer just to be where it's familiar and comfortable. But if I stay too long where I am, I'm not going to receive the refreshing and the restoring that God wants to bring me as he would lead me down into to those waters. The problem is, part of the way to those waters is through a dark valley. And this is why we can be thankful not only what he provides for us, but how he protects us. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He protects us with his peace. And that phrase, even though, can also be translated even when. And the idea is that we will go through valleys. We will go through dark valleys. It's not a matter of if. We can try to avoid them, but at some point, we will go through that dark valley. And maybe that's where some of you are today. Maybe you're in that dark valley where the shadows seem to be overrunning your path, and you don't know if you can go forward any longer. But notice what it says. Even though I walk through. Hallelujah. We don't stay in the valley, but the shepherd leads us through, because there's a water of refreshing on the other side. There's a place of renewal on the other side. There's a place of restoration on the other side. Yes, I'm going through a dark valley right now, and in that valley, I can't see the enemy sitting in the crevices looking to pounce, but I can be confident and at peace, because my shepherd, my savior, my king, he is leading me through. And I can be confident that he will never leave me alone. And so he protects me by leading me through, and secondly, preparing me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Many of us at some point this weekend will be sitting around a table with your family, and you will be feasting on a feast. I love Thanksgiving. I love these kind of things just because I just love to feast. And sometimes we get this picture that David here is talking about, that God prepares this table and we're sitting around with all of our enemies. But that's not the picture that he's painting. Remember, he's looking through the eyes of the sheep. And as they come out of the crevices of the gorge of the valley of death, they're coming into a plain. But what the sheep don't see, because you see, the thing with sheep, have you ever noticed that sheep always have their heads down? Because they're always looking for something to eat. So they always have their heads down, which is why the shepherd needs to lead them. And when their heads are down, they don't see hiding in the crevices and in the tall grass, there might be a predator ready to pounce. And so what the shepherd does is he goes before the sheep and he prepares the way for them. He cleans the pasture there of any untoward snakes or predators. He makes sure that it is safe and that it's flat, so that when the sheep come, they can eat at peace. Their enemies are invisible around them, but they can be at peace because their shepherd has provided for them. Their shepherd has led them. Their shepherd has made the way for them and led them through the valley and made the way to prepare their meal. And then he protects them. In verse 5, you anoint my head with oil. In ancient Israel, shepherds used oil for three purposes: to repel insects, prevent conflict, and to heal wounds. And this is what the shepherd does for us. The oil here is representative, of course, of the Holy Spirit. And when we are hurting, when we are lost, when we are suffering, when we trust the shepherd, he takes the oil and he pours it on and he brings healing to us. He brings wholeness to us. He brings help to us. The shepherd protects us. The shepherd provides for us. And finally, the shepherd preserves us. In verse 5, he gives us help. Help for today. My cup overflows. I shared this with Sue last night in my reading. I never saw this before until I was reading a commentary last night. You got to listen to this, because if you don't get excited about this, I know I got really excited. So if I get really excited sharing this with you and you don't, well, I'm still going to get excited. The word overflow refers to an overabundance or a state of overflowing. And the cup here has two meanings. One meaning is that the shepherd would often carry water so that the sheep could drink, and he would share it among his flock. He would be generous because he knew that they had to have water or they would perish. But here's the other meaning that I just jumped at. The other meaning is that of a dinner host who would serve drinks in cups and fill them to the brim. There was a common way to tell guests that they could stay as long as they wanted. But when a cup sat empty, the host was hinting that it was time to leave. When the host really enjoyed the company of the guests, he filled their cups until the wine or the water ran over the edge of the cup onto the floor. My cup overflows. He wants us to stay. He wants us to stay. He's got so much more for us, church. He's got so much more for us. Ephesians 3:20 talks about how he lavishes his blessing on us. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. And then look at the beginning of verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely is an emphatic expression that can be translated, yes, sir, indeed. That's just Pastor Ralph's translation. The goodness and mercy of God is a covenant term that can be translated loving kindness. To follow means to pursue or to chase after. Aren't you glad that God, our Savior, doesn't leave us alone to fend for ourselves against the predators that would seek to pounce on us? Aren't you glad that our heavenly shepherd loves us enough that he would pursue us because we deserve it? No. But because of his goodness and mercy, he loves us. And it was God's goodness and mercy that led Jesus Christ to the cross, where the good shepherd gave his life for his sheep. And right now, you may be watching this morning. You may even be in this audience today, and perhaps you don't know the shepherd. I've got good news for you. He's been pursuing you your whole life since the day you were born. And right now, he's saying, come to me. I am the good shepherd. I'll help you today, and I'm going to give you hope for tomorrow. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will dwell in his presence. And I, whether here or in heaven, I will ever be with the Lord. So what does this say to you and me? Three quick things. Three lessons. Lesson number one. If I'm not already part, I need to join the shepherd's flock. That doesn't mean I become a member of Highway Christian Fellowship or Christian Life Assembly or Glad Tidings in Victoria. No, it means that I become part of his flock by putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. Let me ask you this morning, do you know the shepherd? Jesus said in John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Do you know the shepherd? And when you know him, stay close to him. Sheep like to wander, just like you and I. But there's something interesting that when sheep know their shepherd, and they trust him, and they're confident in him, that they will stay close to him. Why? Because the closer they are to the shepherd, guess what? The quicker they're going to get to the green pastures and the still waters. Stay close to him. Stay close to him. Join him and follow him wherever he leads. God has a plan for you. The shepherd has a plan for you like he does our church. But he calls us to follow him. That's not easy some days. It's not been easy the last 8 or 9 months. But folk, as we sang this morning, there's none of us that can say he has not been faithful. Faithful one, so unchanging. Follow him wherever he leads. Let me close with this story and then we'll pray. In the last century, entertainment consisted of traveling groups of actors who went from town to town. One such actor went to a small Midwestern town. The town hall was packed and the audience was wildly enthusiastic as the orator recited passages from great plays, poems, and literature. At the end of the performance, they shouted for more. The actor agreed to take a few requests. Immediately, a hand shot up from an older man with a weather-beaten face. Could you recite the 23rd Psalm, please? The actor thought for a minute, then said, I'll do it on one condition. After I finish, you will come up and recite it also. Puzzled, the old man agreed. The actor began, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As he continued, he infused the words with all the tricks of his art. One by one, the phrases known and loved by all rolled off his tongue. When all the words of the sweet psalm were delivered with oratorical relish, the audience gave the actor yet another enthusiastic ovation. Then the man who had requested the psalm came up. His face was not handsome, and his voice was thick and uncultured. Yet as he began to speak, his face started to glow and love almost leapt from his mouth as he quoted the words. Then he concluded, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Only instead of an ovation of cheers, the sound in the room was of people crying. The silence was finally broken when the actor stepped forward and said, "Now you know why I wanted him to follow me. You see, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Do you know the shepherd today? I'd like us all to bow our heads in prayer, and the worship team is going to lead us in one song in closing. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know the shepherd. You don't have a relationship with him. He is calling you today, whether you're here or at home. He's calling you into a relationship. And you can begin that by simply praying this prayer with me. "Lord, I've been straying for a long time, just living my life on my own. I confess I'm a sinner and I repent from how I've been living. Jesus, thank you for dying as the Lamb of God on the cross, shedding your blood to pay the price for all my sin and for rising from the dead. Thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, which have been pursuing me. Now, I surrender to you by asking you to save me from my sin. Come into my life so I can be one of your sheep and dwell in your house forever. Enable me to stay close to you, my shepherd, as you feed me and lead me by protecting me, providing for me, and preserving me. All for your name's sake. Amen." If you're watching online and you prayed that prayer, we connect with you, and you can go on your computer and you can on your email and send a message to office@hcfsydney.ca, or go to our website at hcfsydney.ca, and there's a place there for you to connect with us, and we'd be happy to connect with you. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we'd love to speak with you after the service and help you begin your journey of faith in the Lord Jesus. Right now, we're going to close with a wonderful song from the Old Testament, the Aaronic Blessing.